Lucifer, dawn of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Lucifer, Lucifer, dawn of the morning.
7:03 on a Friday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Rick Dhaliwal is going to join us in just a moment here as we get all our insider information about the Vancouver Canucks. Friendly reminder, it is Ask Us Anything Friday on the program. If you're going to submit, do it to 650-650. That's the Dunbar Lumber text line. And put the letters, the acronym, AUA, so it's easier for us to find. We are not good at this. Also, if you want to get us on Twitter, I am at Mike Halford 604. He is at Sad Club Commish. That's Jason Brough, and it's C-O-M-M-I-S-H. You can also get us at Sportsnet 650.
We got a bunch of Ask Us Anythings in the Dunbar Lumber text inbox in basket.
Mm-hmm.
How do the bathrooms compare at the new place versus the old place? Similar.
Similar.
Yeah, their bathrooms.
I think I've mentioned the kitchen amenities are far superior.
Mm-hmm.
The coffee machine is just resplendent.
Yeah.
I really like it.
You can make a cappuccino. You can make a latte.
Brough has run the gamut of coffees this week.
Hot chocolate.
Tried them all. Have you had a hot chocolate yet?
Not yet. No. Here's an Ask Us Anything.
Okay.
Would you trade Roussel for Ghost in Philadelphia?
Not if I'm Philadelphia.
Well, Gustis Barrett doesn't make sense for the Canucks either.
Yeah.
He is an offensive defenseman that struggles defensively. What role would he have in Vancouver? He's not going to get first power play minutes. That's Quinn Hughes. And the Canucks need guys that can defend.
Yeah, the Gustis Barrett thing's not a go. It's a non-story. The Gustis Barrett story, to be honest, is not necessarily about where he's going to go, but how far his stock has fallen in Philadelphia. He was a Calder finalist. Do you remember how good he was when he burst onto the scene?
Yeah.
I remember we were talking to Patrick Burke, who works at the NHL, but at the time was a scout for the Flyers. And we were asking him, were you in on this kid at Union College? And he's like, yeah, we kind of, did the work and went through the collegiate ranks and found this kid as kind of an unearthed gem. They found him later in the draft. And they were super, super high on him within the Flyers organization.
You know what's a funny story? I remember chatting with Ben Hutton in the Canucks room that same year because Hutton was
At Maine.
A good young but he was a good young defenseman too, right? Mm-hmm. Like he was surprised, and I was like, "Have you watched Gustis Barrett at all this season?" He was kind of like, "No, I've just been focusing on the Canucks." But it is funny that both those guys, not to the same extent with Hutton, obviously, that with Gustis Barrett, but they were considered, young defensemen, up and coming defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they now?
Yeah, no kidding. What a fall from grace for both. Let's go to the phone line now. Happy to have our next guest on the program. It's good to talk to him again. You can hear him and see him coming up on Monday, April 5th on Check TV on the Donnie and Dolly Show starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. He joins us now, Rick Dhaliwal, on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Ricky D, Slick Rick the Ruler, how are you, my friend?
Hey, don't I know you two guys?
Think we've worked together on occasion.
Somewhere.
I wouldn't admit it in public.
We're back.
Hey, buddy. Hey, I got to tell you a quick story. Donnie and Dolly. In the negotiations, there was a small pocket of talk about Dolly and Donnie. And Taylor, he's got a big fat head. He kiboshed a shot at him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was wondering how that worked. I was how did the billing work on this? I was glad that briefly you were involved in negotiations to where you were first and Donnie was second. But that's good.
Taylor's got a big fat head. He shot it down.
Rick, tell us about this COVID-19 update as it relates to the Vancouver Canucks. Let us know.
Look, guys, I'm hearing that more Canuck players have tested positive. I'm not surprised. I'm trying to get it confirmed. But when the league announces the COVID list today, could be an interesting number in Vancouver. That's what I've been told. I'm working on it right now. But think about it, guys. Gaudette's at the game day skate. Hamonic's at the game day skate. You got a coach at the game day skate. And when this all happened, I did, somebody said to me, he said, Rick, how could you not have more players get it?
Yeah.
And I'm just hearing more and more last night and this morning that more Canuck players have tested positive. I'm just working on it right now, but I'm just telling you that don't be surprised if more Canuck players are announced today with COVID.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, when I saw that the games had been delayed a few games postponed with the expectations that their next game will be April 8th. I thought, I'm not all that bullish on that April 8th game being played.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because if it is a member of the coaching staff, he's probably had pretty close contact with a lot of players and other coaches, you know? And you're just, it's not blaming anyone.
No.
This is happening. You know, there's lots of people getting this now, especially in BC. Our numbers are through the roof, so it's not surprising. But it is, I call it a bit of Canucks luck in that they finally get a week off. They get rested. Now they want to get back to work, and they could be off for a while now.
Yeah, and I see people blaming Gaudette. Don't do that. They had a week off. You kind of lax up. Maybe you go to a restaurant. You know, maybe you do this or that. I certainly don't think you can blame any certain player, whether it's in your house at home or at your workplace or a hockey team or a class at school. Hey, look, it is I know people who have had COVID, and I ask them, where'd you get it from? They have no idea. Like, they just, they try and backtrack. They don't know where they got it from.
Well, Gaudette, could he not have theoretically got it from someone on the team? And he was just the first one to test positive?
Yes. So, look, I'm not surprised that I'm hearing that, you know, possibly more Canuck players are going to test positive. I'm certainly hearing it. I'm trying to confirm it. But I'm not surprised, guys. I just totally saw this on. And, you know, I'm wondering about that game day skate. I'm just wondering, you know, could there have been more caution with that game day skate that day?
A lot
of things to ponder.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to look back and see all the effects of it. I'm wondering about the rest of the season going forward. We've been talking a lot about that today, Rick. Once the Canucks get back into action, whenever they do, look, let's be realistic. Barring a miracle, they're not making the playoffs. Montreal won again last night. They've got a pretty big cushion on both the Flames and the Canucks. Plus, they've got a bunch of games in hand. What is the plan down the stretch for this team? Are they going to play some young guys like, for example, Cole Lind? And tell us about Cole Lind.
Yeah, boy, Cole Lind's interesting, guys. 2 weeks ago, he was brought into town because he had a broken nose at the beginning of the last month. Doctors cleared him to play last night. He's been assigned to the taxi squad. But is this an indication maybe the team is selling and taking a look at young kids? I think so. But my thing on Cole Lind is this, guys. You got a broken nose in Utica, and you got to fly all the way to Vancouver to get your nose checked out. Is there no nose specialist in New York? Like, usually you fly across the continent to get your knee checked out, a second, third look. It's very interesting to me that they would fly Cole Lind in to check his nose out. And guess what? He finished his quarantine on Monday, and now all of a sudden he's cleared to play. Guys, I think Cole Lind is a perfect example of where this franchise is thinking. And I think he's going to see some ice time as soon as they get back playing, because you guys are bang on. I don't see the playoffs, so why not play the kids?
Do you think they'd play him at center, or do they see him as a winger? Because they've got issues at center, specifically that third line center spot. Brandon Sutter probably won't be back unless they sign him to a very low contract. Adam Gaudette might be traded. He hasn't panned out the way they've wanted him to. I can't really think of any other candidates for that, unless you go Petey, Horvat, JT Miller down the middle, and I'm not sure they want to do that. Is Cole Lind perhaps the 3C of the future for this club?
Yeah, I think you're correct. And the other thing is, when you got Pod Colson coming in, a lot of their young players are on the wings and not up the middle. So if Cole Lind can play it, pull it off, and of course when you're playing center, you better be good defensively. And I think that's what they worked on when they made the transition with him and Utica, be better defensively. And I think if he can pull that off, and pull that off at the National Hockey League level, I think Cole Lind is going to be a centerman for this franchise down the road. Guys, I just want to give you a Tanner Pearson update, because look, you brought up Sutter. I'd be shocked if Sutter is brought back. I mean, I don't think that would go well over in the market. They need every single penny. Mm-hmm. Are you listening? Every single penny for Pettersson and Hughes. But Tanner Pearson, two sides touched base last Saturday. Not much since. Now, the trading deadline is 9 days away. Last night I checked in on Tanner Pearson, crickets. Guys, absolute crickets on Tanner Pearson. Look, either negotiate with the guy or trade him. The player and the agent have no control in this situation. This is all team control. Because if you want him back and you have stated you want him back 3 weeks ago, well, then talk to him. Negotiate. There's been nothing since last Saturday. This is of last night. Guys, this is a player making $3.7 million. I don't see him taking a penny less than three. I think the Canucks need him under three. Very interesting what's going on with Tanner Pearson.
I'd be really surprised to see what the market is for Tanner Pearson. Tyler Toffoli signs a four-year deal with Montreal.
Yep.
$4.25 million cap hit. I think Tyler Toffoli is a better player than Tanner Pearson. He can certainly score more than Tanner Pearson. I think Tanner Pearson is a good player. He's probably a third liner on a good team. But how much is that worth in today's environment? You know, I would peg it at around $3 million
a year. And you're bang on. I just don't see the player taking anything less than three here. I don't see it. And then you roll the dice, and I know it's a COVID world, and I know all that stuff. And I know, you know, hey, Tanner, you might not get that on the free agent market, but you got to hold tight to that 3.7 number in my eyes. And I just think that it's going to be awfully, awfully tough for the Vancouver Canucks to sign Tanner Pearson. And I mean, and look, guys, let's be honest. You got these two mammoth contracts coming up with Pedersen and Hughes. Every single penny counts. Guys, Alexander Edler, I know a lot of people out there think he is going to waive. I'm not 100% sold on that. I've also heard he may not. Players with young families have to think about quarantining two ways. Is it worth it? If you're a Stanley Cup contender and you want Alexander Edler, do you really see Alexander Edler if you're a Cup contender in your top four?
No.
I don't know about that.
No.
And here's another one for you guys. The last time Edler did a deal in Vancouver, the two sides talked about him finishing his career with the Canucks. I really believe in my heart this player going coast to coast, finishing in Vancouver. And really, what are you going to get for Edler, guys? Are you going to get a third, fourth, fifth round pick? I don't know. A lot of people think he's going to waive. I'm saying hold off here. I've also heard he won't waive. So here we go again. It seems like every year the Canucks have the only players in the NHL that don't want to waive.
I wonder if the Canucks are going to bring back Edler next season. Every single penny they need to improve their team, what would Edler take? He's on a $6 million cap hit right now. He shouldn't get that next season.
No.
He won't get that next season wherever he goes. Do the Canucks really want to bring – and I think if they need to bring him back, if the Canucks need to bring Alex Edler back, that's a fairly large indictment on their drafting and developing of defensemen.
So here's one for you. So Hamonic, they like the fit. Everything seems to fit with Hamonic. I wouldn't be surprised if they try and lock him up. But, you know, Jordy Benn, we'll see what happens here in the next 9 days with Jordy Benn. But when you look at Edler, okay, so now are you going to make room for Olli Juolevi someday, guys? Are you going to actually make room for Olli Juolevi someday? Are you going to make room for Jack Rathbone down the road?
Mm-hmm.
These are all questions. The Canucks blue line could look very, very different next year, guys. Very different if Edler and Benn are gone. And then here's another one for you. Nikita Triamkin.
Oh, I thought you wouldn't mention him.
Hey, I got to mention my favorite Russian. His agent, Todd Diamond, fully expects to talk to the Canucks this month, 100% about Triamkin's future. So you're talking about Edler, you're talking about Benn, but I'm talking to you about Juolevi, Triamkin, also Rathbone. This Rafferty kid, he's played one game in 13 months, and that was in Manitoba with the Moose, and he had the one game with the Canucks, so that's two. But I'm just saying to you, this Canucks blue line could look very, very, very different next year.
What about the coaching staff? What are you hearing about the coaching staff as soon as Thatcher Demko reportedly signed that contract extension? It hasn't been made official yet, but even the owner is tweeting about it, so I think it's probably going to get done.
It's a, they were supposed to announce it yesterday morning. I was told the day of the game in the morning that it was going to be announced after the game or the next morning, and then everything, all hell broke loose.
Right.
Listen, good piece of business by the Canucks. This all happened with Demko in 7 days. Canucks were proactive, locking up a key young player. There will be no ran out of time like they ran out of time with Tyler Toffoli, Tandem, and Stetcher. Really good piece of work. I am sure that Ian Clark's name came up in talks with Demko. That's common knowledge. Mm-hmm. A goalie would always want to know who his goalie coach is before signing long term. At the end of the day, whether Clark's here or not, Demko's going to be fine. Now, nothing against Ian Clark, but how can you sign your goalie coach before your head coach? You've made Travis Green a lame duck coach. There's been no talks for months and months and months. Money is the issue here. Green's got tenure now. He wants to be paid accordingly. He doesn't want to be one of the lowest paid coaches in the NHL anymore. I'm telling you guys right now that I would not worry about Ian Clark. I would figure out first, why is Travis Green not signed, and get him signed.
Why isn't he signed? Is this just the owner? From all we've heard, Jim Benning wants to re-sign Travis Green, wants to keep him. I think Ian McIntyre wrote in his article the other day that it just hasn't been authorized by ownership.
100%. Ian is so bang on, and I've been saying this. This is the owner's call. Now, put yourself in the owner's shoes, guys. No revenue this year. It's a COVID economy. It's a COVID world. So you can understand why the owner's, you know, not throwing big bucks at Travis Green. Okay, I get that part of it. But are you really going to make him coach as a lame duck coach and then after the year's over make him an offer? Like, that makes no sense. Rod Brind'Amour said it last week in an article. Coaching as a lame duck coach is very, very stressful. And you don't think that and he's in Carolina where they really don't give two hoots about hockey. Try being a lame duck coach in a Canadian market. If it's stressful in Carolina, what do you think it is in Vancouver? It's just the owner right now. He's not willing to spend. And I get it. It's a economy. But guys, let's put it this way. If Travis Green leaves the city, he'll find a job elsewhere. But the new head coach of the Canucks is not going to be a $3, $4 million, $5 million coach. It's going to be a coach in the $2 million range. And then you ask yourself, did you really get better behind the bench?
Not willing to spend. The thing is, like, he doesn't have to come up with the money right away. I'm talking about ownership for the coaching staff. It's next season, so obviously the ownership isn't sure of how many fans are going to be in the stands next season, which is fair enough. But they do need a coach. And I think you make a really good point there. Is this all about money? Or is there maybe some hesitancy from ownership or possibly management in thinking that maybe Travis Green isn't the guy for them? Or is it entirely money?
It's money. From everything I've been told, the GM wants Travis back. The owner wants Travis back. Everybody wants Travis back. But here's the deal. Travis now has put himself in a range where he's got years and years of experience now in the National Hockey League. He did the 3 years in Utica, took the team to the Calder Cup. So he feels now, you know what, I've got tenure. And when you got tenure in the National Hockey League, you seem to think that, and rightfully so, that you deserve a raise. I don't think Travis Green's asking for $4 million or $5 million, but I certainly think he deserves to be in the $3 million plus range. And if he does, and if the owner's not giving it to him, this is strictly about money. Everything I've been told is the Canucks right on to the top of the ownership. They want Travis back. This is just a negotiation. But it's going to be fascinating to see what they do with Travis once the season's over.
Do you know what they're looking at in terms of comps or what? So I know you threw out a couple numbers there, but like Maurice is on $3 million in Winnipeg. Laviolette, I think, was the last coach to sign a deal pre-COVID.
And he got his deal.
Right.
In COVID.
Right.
He got his deal
that was
COVID.
Right. That was in COVID.
And that was $4.9 million per. But Laviolette's got a really long resume, including a cup.
It's a little bit COVID related, but it's also, and Travis wants to be back. I mean, he's a BC boy. He's from the Kootenays. It's a great fit. And look, the team did go, I always say, three playoff rounds in the bubble in Edmonton. I always say, you know, the Minnesota series, I always call that a playoff series. But anyways, they did go three playoff rounds. Everyone was on top of the world. And then they lost a bunch of guys on July 1st, the new July 1st date. And all of a sudden, you know, they're kind of going backwards right now. But if you stay with the same coach who has been there with all these young guys from day one, it just makes a whole lot of sense to bring Travis back. But I'm going to say it again, guys. This is strictly a money play. It's Travis thinks he deserves this much, rightfully so. And the owner's saying, I'm not there yet, but maybe he gets there after the season. But if you're going to get there after the season, why did you just make your coach become a lame duck coach all season long?
Rick, great stuff today, bud. Thanks a lot for doing this. Best of luck on Monday when Donnie and Dolly kicks off on Czech TV. And I'm sure we'll be talking again as we get closer to the trade deadline.
Hey, good hearing you guys. And the only thing I feel sorry for you two about is your producer. He's a nut bar. But anyways.
He's not very good, is he? Yeah.
No, he drove me nuts when I used to be in that building.
I suck at my job.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys deserve about 40 grand each more dealing with that guy.
I agree. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it, bud. Have a good one.
You can talk to our agent.
Rick Dhaliwal here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Nothing he said was unfactual.
I don't find you.
I do suck.
I don't find you a nut bar.
Yeah. Well, we've only worked with him for a few days.
So. It's been a week. What a week it's been. Mm. You mentioned earlier that the sleep has really caught up to you.
Yeah. I'm better now. I slept a lot yesterday.
I know.
I'm very fresh.
You're like a bear yesterday.
Yeah.
You hibernated for the afternoon. We've got a lot more to get into on the program. We can circle back on a lot of the stuff that Rick brought up there during his very informative hit. We'll also look ahead to Harmon Dial. He's coming up at 8 o'clock. More trade deadline talk, obviously, to come. And I guess we've got a lot of things percolating about what may or may not be happening with Vancouver Canucks as it relates to COVID-19 and COVID-19 protocols. It is Ask Us Anything Friday. We still need what we learns. There's a whole lot more to get into. Your job is to keep it here. Don't change the station. Don't touch the dial. Just continue to listen to Halford and Brough on Sportsnet 650. /7:28 on a Friday. Halford, Brough, Sportsnet 650. So one of the things that you might have noticed this week, our maiden voyage week on Sportsnet 650, now 5 days in the book. We've been employed for 5 consecutive days.
That's awesome.
One thing you may have noticed is that we do not take phone calls on this show.
From listeners.
Never have, never will. Jason doesn't like it because I've seen him physically recoil when a caller gets on the air and starts to stutter or scramble or get discombobulated.
Yeah.
Do you remember the...
I get jealous. I'm like, that's my thing.
Do you remember the Boom Goes the Dynamite guy?
Yeah.
Dom, do you remember him?
Mm. Nope.
You don't remember Boom Goes the Dynamite?
The amateur collegiate... He was doing the news desk for sports. And his teleprompter wasn't working, and he was fumbling and stammering through all of the highlights, but then somehow managed to get his catchphrase in.
I think the teleprompter was working. He was just having a panic attack.
Okay. And then for some reason, amidst all this stammering and stumbling, someone hit a three-pointer in one of the highlights on the screen. And he said, and boom goes the dynamite. Mm-hmm. Brough's never been able to watch it because it's so awkward and it's so cringeworthy.
The softball team continued to play this weekend. And they were hoping to continue off of their straight 3 out of 4 losses. And so we'll
see
how that happened.
Yep.
They started off good, but then eventually the Ball State women's team shut down and ended up doing poorly.
This is so bad.
We're going to continue on now. And the Ladies Cardinals will play an Iowa tournament starting this Friday. Before the Ball State baseball team kicks off its conference season this weekend, the Cards will battle an in-state rival, Indiana, tomorrow. Tomorrow's game will be the meeting between the two, beating both first.
Oh, God. So turn it down. So at a certain point in that video, he actually mouths the words, I'm so sorry. You don't want to say it out loud. Anyway. Brough can't watch that whole thing because it's so cringeworthy. So that feeling is what we get when you put
a caller on the air because you have no control over how it's going to go.
The people get nervous, right? And rightly so. They've never been on the radio before. They get nervous.
You also can't predict if they've got it together, the crazy stuff that's going to come out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring this up because yesterday, and I apologize that I don't have the call number and I don't remember the name of this radio station in Cleveland, but there was an exchange between a local Cleveland area radio host and a caller following the Indians' first game of the year. It was a loss.
It was a TV.
It was a call-in show.
Yeah, on TV.
It's the same thing what they're doing on Check with Dolly and Donnie.
Right. Yeah. Same idea, essentially.
Probably have a viral video, too.
Yeah,
probably.
Old men yelling at clouds, essentially. That's what we've got here. I'm not even going to set it up any further. Let's take it away. Here's the audio now.
You can just simply pitch around Ramirez, keep walking him, don't give him anything to hit. The next guy, the good pitch is down the middle, he won't swing at, but the ball's down around his ankles. He hits the shortstop into a double play. This has been going on for 2 years.
Right. I guess you missed a lot of the games that Reyes hit in the clutch last year, huh?
No.
Oh, yeah. You're an idiot.
No.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball. You are an idiot. Listen,
no,
you're going to tell me you are judging. You don't know anything. You don't know squat, you stupid idiot. You're going to tell me you're going to make a judgment on the season after one game in 30-degree weather that proves what an ignoramus you are. Get off our show. Fair weather idiot. All right, we're going to move on here. 844-284-289-1421. Didn't even have the courtesy to call me by my name. I got a few names I'd like to call him.
That was Drennan Live, Cleveland Sports Talk Radio. Bruce Drennan was the host. It was televised. And you can't really do...
That was very good. That was good Midwest, too. Yeah. All right, we're going to move on. Marco. Oh,
my blood is boiling. Now, that's one of the reasons that we don't take callers right there. Because if you can't really judge it because you didn't see the visual of it because it was televised. You can see in his... You know when you see in someone's face that they're ready to swear?
Yes.
And they're doing everything in their power not to swear?
I've seen it from you.
Yeah.
Once you swore.
Right, I did. I just did it. I went with it. That was the sound and the look of a man that really wanted to swear.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to call him a stupid idiot. He wanted to call him something else.
Do you think that's just what Cleveland sports does to you?
I mean, he's Drennan,
been there for
Drennan
a long
is
time.
An elderly guy.
He's, 70.
He's been there for a while.
Yeah.
So he's seen some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of LeBron doing it with the Cavs, like, it's just been futility and losing. And also, you live in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So I imagine that he'd be, you know.
That's a big argument to have after one game, though.
Huge. I
why do you think he went off like that? I mean,
I don't know. That was weird.
You know, the caller was saying, you know, Reyes, he was criticizing him, but he leapt to his defense.
I like that he's like, and in 30-degree weather. That's a good old man thing to throw in there. It's like,
no one hits well.
You can't.
It's too cold to hit.
You can't play in 30-degree weather. So that's why we're never going to take calls on this program. What we will do, however, is take your texts and then sift through them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe paraphrase them at a time, but we'll read them on the air. So this is a quick segment here. We're going to leave a lot of time in the final, 26 minutes of this hour. We're going to go into the text message in basket, and we'll do a bunch of Ask Us Anythings coming up next. So, you know, the premise here is you can make them sports related if you like. I flagged a bunch that are. You got a lot of Canucks ones, especially on the heels of Rick Dhaliwal's hit just a few minutes ago. But we'll also do anything as it pertains to life, love, food, movies, hobbies, anything you want. Ask Us Anything is all about that. By the way, if you missed Dhaliwal's hit, there was a lot of information about the Canucks in there. Dom is furiously uploading podcasts on the hour, every hour on the hour. So 6 o'clock is already up. And now we're live and locked and loaded at Apple, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? Dom's giving me the nod back there. So wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, the Halford and Bruff Show, all 3 hours will be cut chopped up into individual hours, and you can download them and listen at your leisure.
And thanks for all of you that left nice comments and solid ratings at the Apple Podcast area. God, I sound so old. It's
you
like
do.
The Apple Podcast page,
right?
Where the podcast is
on the interweb.
You can leave ratings and comments, and there are a lot of nice ones, and we appreciate those.
It's very nice. So coming up, Ask Us Anything Friday with Halford and Brough on your home of the Vancouver Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Net.
$7.40 on a Friday. Sure hope this is the instrumental.
Would I? Come on, man. I've been doing this for a while.
Oh, I know. Could you imagine?
Do you know there's a radio safe version of this?
How? How is that even possible?
I think it's just like...
it's the most...
Different lyrics?
It is the most...
Or is it just dubbed out?
The most vicious opening verse?
Yeah.
In the history of hip-hop. Nothing will ever get worse.
Yeah.
Like, not mincing any words, not beating around the bush, just... Shots fired right out the gate.
Yeah, the first line in the radio saves like, screw you and your crew.
Yeah. Hey, I've got something to say about your wife. 7:40 on a Friday.
I had relations with her.
Yeah. The clean version.
This is going to sound like the whitest thing ever.
The clean version is doesn't hit as hard.
We discuss a lot of West Coast gangster rap on this show.
Not gangsta.
Gangster.
I came from Reach Deep. This is common practice.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Were you guys West Coast or East Coast or both?
Randy's East Coast.
Really?
Mostly.
Halford's kind of East Coast too.
Yeah. And Dan was opera, whatever coast that belongs to.
Yeah. Bocelli.
Apparently, a lot of people texted in and said we did not do adequate follow up on the fact that Dan Riccio, one of the three hosts of the People Show, can sing opera.
I think part of that is also they just want to hear him sing opera on the People Show.
Likewise.
Yeah.
I thought we were, I said it would be like that scene from Superbad where we just call him up and like, you're going to sing.
Yeah.
That beautiful voice. You're going to sing. Okay, let's jump into the Dunbar Lumber text message in basket, 650, 650. Let's do some Ask Us Anythings. We got one here. This is a Dom one. We're going to throw this one to you, Dom.
Okay.
Why?
Because he has a girlfriend.
Well, I have a girlfriend.
This, okay, well, then you can answer it as well. Okay. Congratulations to the both of you. But this is a girlfriend's particular question. It's not a wife or it's a girlfriend question because this unsigned texter named Gary, obviously, but he wants to be known as Gary because his girlfriend also listens to the show and this might be a dead giveaway. He wants to know what's a good gift. Second anniversary. We're talking second anniversary girlfriend.
How long have you been together with your girlfriend, Don?
We're coming up on 6 months.
So, well, I've been, my second anniversary is coming up in like a few months.
Good for you. You can take this if you want.
Hey, good for you.
Well, why does it have to be for Dom?
Because I'm the young guy on the show?
Yeah. You're old. You're done. You're the past. Dom's the future.
Okay.
He's only 29 years old.
Okay, what's your answer then?
Well, listen, if you're with someone for, you're coming up on 2 years. Like you clearly have an idea of whether or not this is like a forever thing.
Good point.
So if you're coming up on 2 years, I'd say 2 years is the mark where you start dipping into the jewelry.
Ah, I was wondering if you were going to go jewelry.
Like, it's a safe choice.
I've had this discussion, though, and I don't think she wants any part of me choosing jewelry for her.
Ooh, he went to Jared.
And I was like, I'm not good at that.
Well, here's the thing. Girls generally have friends. And those friends know the girl probably better than you do.
Yeah.
That's why you reach out and say, listen, it's our two-year anniversary.
Secretly text her friends. That's a good idea.
Yeah, no, it is.
I couldn't go wrong.
No, it can't.
I got her this gigantic Jesus piece. Do you think she'll like it?
They will tell you what to do.
That would be great if that's what you did. You went jewelry, but then you went like gaudy bling jewelry. I got you this diamond-encrusted Rolex.
Honestly, at this point, a good anniversary present would be, or just a good present in general, book a trip.
Yeah, right.
No, seriously.
You know what?
Seriously,
he's if it's on coming up here, because if
book
it,
a
if
trip, it, give. We're trying to book something for December, with actually a bunch of group of my friends, and we're gonna go down to like some resort.
Okay,
right, all of us together. This is in December. We're gonna try booking this for because it's something to look forward to.
Right. You do, I mean, is it false hope? Potentially, but it's hope.
I don't think it's December.
Yeah.
Like, book a reasonable.
I enjoy that you're not an optimistic person by trade, but I like that you seem to think that anybody's got a handle on anything. I have totally given up any hope. I'm leaving everything to, like, well, someone else is going to decide my fate now, because everything. I've tried to predict.
We're barely
things.
Into April. We're talking about December.
I know.
Everyone will be vaccinated by then.
I love that you've highlighted that you're not just giving a gift of, like, travel. You're giving the gift of hope.
Yeah. It's like
you
the
are.
Shawshank Redemption.
I think that's a good. And also, here's another thing.
Yep.
I think you should get on it now, because booking for vacations, if you want to go to Hawaii or if you want to go to good resorts down in Mexico.
Arizona.
Do you know how busy those places are going to be?
Yeah,
people are. There are going to be, like, there's going to be the 10%, 20% of the population that's still hesitant to travel, and fair enough. But most of us, the majority of people, are dying to go on vacation.
Sure.
How many of you out there have looked potentially at vacation spots or had a conversation with your friends or your partners or whoever about, okay, when this is finally over, where should we go? Like, what should we do? Have you had that conversation with your girlfriend, Don?
100%, yeah.
Yeah, like, everyone is dying to get out of here. So you might as well book that stuff now and obviously look at the cancellation policies and all that sort of stuff first. But I think it's going to be super, super expensive to go to some places, too. I bet it already is.
It is
I haven't
now,
looked
yeah.
at Hawaii, but Hawaii at... Christmas is basically Vancouver. When I was in Hawaii a couple of years ago, and I swear the most common logo I saw there was a Canucks logo, like people wearing Canucks shirts or Canucks hats or Canucks speedos or whatever, because it's
Canucks speedos. Wow.
Yeah. It is all Vancouver people there. Some Alberta, some Seattle, but to get there, you better get on it, or you're gonna either pay through the nose, you're going to be get left behind.
Ask us anything from Mike in Tawasin. What happened to all the old drops from 1040? I just can't see Kletchy going on without them. Well, Mike in Tawasin, we got news for you. I think Monday we're going to dedicate an entire segment to all the old drops. We can do an explainer. We can do, like, yay or nay to the listeners. Do we want to keep them? Do we want to move on? We can introduce Dom to all these drops, because you hear about them a lot, right?
I do.
Yeah.
And I
people constantly texting in, being like, hey, where are the drops?
Again, I think it also has to do a lot with, I'm new to you guys. I think it's a feeling out process, and eventually we'll figure that out.
I like this feedback from Dave. I'm going to read this.
He said,
with all due respect, I think your show should take phone calls.
Okay.
I like listening to others call in. Sometimes they are not great, but it's entertaining. I find on your show there is a little too much banter. I would listen more if there wasn't. Dave, you know what's banter? Talking to someone on the telephone. That is all. It's all banter.
Sorry, what's his name?
Dave.
Dave.
Don't be a Dave. Don't be a Dave.
Okay. Okay, Clutch.
You know what, though? I don't want to rail on Dave. Got to be a better way to say that. I don't want to rail on Dave because...
Dave's like, aw.
Yeah. Dave was being very polite, and he said it's just some feedback. It's just some feedback. So I respect that, Dave, but I don't really see a difference between Jason and I yammering on about a topic and then introducing someone that we don't know and have no idea what he's going to say.
Here's the thing, though.
I guess the unpredictability
I think, well, there's a reason why call-in shows have been popular.
Unpredictability.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just Halford. I know it is quite a few of the listeners, because we've had a lot of support for the no call-ins. I feel that residual embarrassment for others, perhaps stronger than a guy like Dave would. Dave might enjoy something going off the rails.
Right.
Like a caller going off the rails, a caller getting flustered.
But you don't.
I don't. Yeah. Because I know what I do. I also know what I do when I'm in my car and something like that happens. The post-game show, for example, when someone calls in and they've clearly had, you know, a few cocktails, or they're just not all there, and they're talking about the game. They have no idea what they're talking about, and they just go on these rants. I flip the dial.
Yeah,
I can't listen to it because I get uncomfortable listening to it. Other people, Dave is probably like, I'm going to turn this up because this is entertaining.
Okay, Basketball Phil, longtime listener of the program, hasn't asked us anything. He says he has to ask, And we haven't talked about this all week. What are your thoughts on the CFL-XFL merger talk?
Okay, well, I get it. You go first.
Okay, I get it where the CFL is coming from. They're in a pretty desperate situation right now. And there would be no better publicity for them or no better hype, you know, hype man than The Rock.
Right.
So if The Rock calls you up or you're having conversations with The Rock and you're the CFL and the whole time you're being told constantly, you need to appeal to younger people. You need to stop being so caught up in the past. Mm-hmm. I understand why they're doing it. I just don't really understand what the plan is.
Which is a common...
And I don't think they know either.
Which is a common theme of the Randy Ambrosi era as CFL commissioner.
Yes.
A lot of good ideas, a lot of big ideas, but plans and execution, not so much. I mean, that's what Basketball Phil goes on to write. I have zero faith in Ambrosi, and if it comes down to no football or four-down football, I take the four-down league. Would love to see a game between the BC Lions and the Seattle Dragons, who, of course, are the XFL outfit. I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. This is something that the CFL had to explore, but you're talking about a dramatic, potentially dramatic shift. Like, you would lose...
And a huge risk.
You would... Again, I'm speculating, but you would lose a huge part of the identity and the fabric that the CFL holds near and dear, but also, as you pointed out, what a lot of people want to move on from.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that dynamic at play.
What would you do with the rules?
I think you would probably adhere to whatever the XFL wanted, because right now it's pretty clear that the XFL...
But how much power does the XFL have?
Well, that's
they're not even
question.
Up and running.
Right. Right now, the XFL is the shiny new toy in large part because of The Rock.
I don't think it's how much power does the XFL have. It's how much power does The Rock have.
Yes, yeah. I agree with you.
Well, that's totally right.
I agree with you, yeah.
I mean, he's a dynamic force in this thing. He's going to be president one day. Mm-hmm. So
he honestly might be.
It's going to be Kid Rock versus The Rock. That's what the world...
That's not even hyperbole, guys.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. Happen. Yeah. And I'm here for it. We made it through the last presidential election. That would be far more entertaining, to be honest.
I really do wonder, though, what that league would look like, combined CFL, XFL, what it would look like, what the rules would be. You can maintain the history, of course, of the Rough Riders and the Lions and the Stamps. And what's Edmonton's team called now? Do they know?
Edmonton football team.
Edmonton football team?
The Elk.
The Elk?
The Energy?
I thought it was the Energy. It might be, if it's the XFL,
They are so determined to hold on.
The Edmonton Energy drink.
I've never seen a team so determined to hang on to their logo that the logo is dictating what the name is going
to
be. Yeah,
has to start with an E.
Yeah. Like, we love alliteration in Edmonton.
It's a heritage brand. We can't let go.
It's crazy. But, I mean, it's Edmonton.
But also. I think the CFL right now, they're looking, you know, obviously they're in a short term. Mm-hmm. They have a short-term issue with the pandemic, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. But I think long-term, they're looking how this league is trending, or at the very least, they should be looking at this. I hope they're looking at this. They're looking how this league is trending and going, we're really, really having trouble bringing young people into the stadium, getting young people to watch the games. And I'm talking mostly in the markets like Toronto and Vancouver. In a market like Saskatchewan, everyone watches it. And it's cool to be a Rough Riders fan. It's cool to go down to the stadium. It's not cool to be a Lions fan in Vancouver right now. Would that help if they got someone like The Rock involved? It might. It couldn't hurt. And I think right now, if they keep on doing what they're doing, it's not sustainable in a city like Vancouver. The way this city is developing... This city is turning into much more of a soccer city. If we're talking about secondary sports to hockey, this city is turning into more of a soccer city than CFL. And in terms of football, younger people by far are more interested in the NFL than the CFL.
Lots more to get to on this program. Harmon Dial of The Athletic is going to join us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about his piece that he's got up on The Athletic right now. Very befitting for the times. It is entitled, "It Can Be an Effing Nightmare the inside stories of what it's like when NHL players get traded. He's got a lot of interesting tidbits about the JT Miller situation over the last few years. Don't forget, he wasn't traded not once, but twice, from New York to Tampa Bay, and then Tampa Bay to Vancouver. We'll talk to Harm about the trade deadline, everything we can expect. We'll go around the league a little bit. 8:30, we'll do some What We Learns. We'll do some Ask Us Anythings as well. There's a whole lot more to get to, so don't go anywhere. One final hour of the final show of the week. It is Halford, it is Bruff, it is Sportsnet 650.